And it was. It was poor. Everybody laughed at me. I was skinny. And I developed my body to the extent that I ran a world record time in the mile when even black folks was convinced that black folks couldn't run nothing but dashes genetically. And I didn't get the credit for it because I was at the all-Negro meet. Faster than anyone had ever run in the history of the planet. And I asked them white folks, do you deny that I did it? Said, no, we was there. We know you did it. But the Negro meet don't count. And I went out and organized, and we shut the town down. And that September, they integrated cross country, and I became the first Negro to win a state cross country championship. And the next year, 15 governors had came in to University of Missouri to watch Dick Gregory wipe out the world's record. I was blessed. I didn't give him the pleasure. I ran behind a white boy until we came down to the finish line. And 2 days before with my coach, I had ran 4:11 high school. World's record was 4:16. I finished and won that race to Missouri State Champion at 4:21. My coach yelled and screamed at me, and I said, go screw yourself, fool. I'm not giving them the privilege to see me do it twice. There's a God for us that know, and the rest of it don't count. At the time, I didn't know 5 years later my younger brother would come through and smash the world's record. And went around the world on the ticker tape, Ron Gregory. You can't make a difference. And then I bumped into this civil rights movement. I walked with King. I talked with King. I looked him in the eye, and then I saw him dead. I walked with Kennedy. I talked with Kennedy. We laughed. We dead. I'm with Medgar Evers the week before. I said, I think they're going to hit us tonight, Medgar. I hugged him and said, it's going to be a thrill to die with you. But something funny happened that night. My two-week-old son died, and I had to leave the church and go to Memphis and catch a plane. And I hugged him and said, you got to take this hit by yourself, brother. And I sit around and I look at you Americans. But I've been blessed because I know what's around the corner. You don't. I know what's around the corner. We were able to go in under the Freedom of Information Act. Huh? Only one paper ran it. New York Daily News. December 29, 1999. Psychic was FBI pawn. Gene Dixon. 18 months before John Kennedy was gunned down in Dallas, Gene Dixon wrote a column and said, I see dark clouds around JFK. He shouldn't go to Dallas. And when they pop him, they run it again. He said a week before King was killed. And then we go under the Freedom of Information Act and find out who the government agents was giving them. Everybody they was going to hit was giving it to her. And then she act like she had some right pipeline from God. Oh, this is a great movement out here because we're above being killed. Living in a country that produced a movement that 10 billion years from now, if there's anybody on this planet, they will be talking about Dr. King and the nonviolent movement. And they'll go and they'll be looking like they're trying to dig up Egyptian mummies. They'll be trying to dig and find out who else was in this movement. Oh, they'll celebrate the anniversary of Tiananmen Square where some Chinese laid down in front of a tank without a gun. They learned that from us. Nobody in the history of America ever in the world laid down in front of a tank without a gun till they saw us, black folk, white folk, nuns, priests, religious leaders lay down and say, bring your best shot, punk. And we'd be here when you get through. And then not too long ago, a thug lost an election in Bosnia. And he was honest. He said, I'm not going nowhere Saturday. I'll be sworn in. Because I control the army. And a funny thing happened that Saturday at 12 noon in Bosnia. 250,000 white folks showed up at the town square with no guns. Just saying, we shall overcome. And the soldiers dropped their weapons. And nobody has ever in this country ever slowed up long enough to say thanks. We don't need your thanks. There's a universal God for us. When Nelson Mandela was framed and spent 27 years in jail, when they framed him, he was part of an armed struggle. And the only thing changed was our movement slipped under his door. And had he came out without our movement and grabbed him a gun, he would be dead. It would have been a bloodbath, and white folks would still be in charge. This movement. One day, the only reason America will get her name mentioned, they'll have to say where this movement came from. You know what I'm talking about. I was a little boy, 4 years old, couldn't read, couldn't write. Couldn't read a map, didn't know that St. Louis, Missouri, where I lived, was in the same state with Kansas City. But I knew where Jerusalem was because of a man named Jesus. I knew where the Middle East was because of a man named Jesus. This movement will have the same glamour when people unborn will have to sit down and say what really happened. And so I say to you tonight, take care of yourself. We're fixing to go through some awful times. Particularly you black folks. And there ain't nobody on the planet to die from curable stuff like you. And I don't know who the hell you think you are, who you're praying to. Black folks in America is less than 12% of America's population. As we sit here now, 87% of everybody in America on kidney dialysis machines is black folks. What kind of fool is you? I mean, them numbers don't bother you. You don't know something wrong. Black men, less than 4% of America's population. And as we sit here now, 83% of prostate cancer death is black men. How long? And I'll be honest, a few things shocked me, but in the New York Times, ran this story this year, May Sunday, National Dipper. Workers contain coke sold old soda to poor neighborhoods, but down in the, after the headline, they told you what it was. They go and they collect all the coke, and I never knew that soda pop had a date on it, and after that date, it breaks down, the chemicals break down, and you're supposed to throw it away. But the lawsuit says Coca-Cola go pick it up from the white areas, take it to this warehouse outside of Dallas, and redate them and send them into the black community. I didn't have no problem with that because I don't believe I could die from a bad Coke. And I'm not stupid enough to believe that they're the most trifling ones in the Fortune 500. What bothers me is the pharmaceutical companies doing the same thing. And if I'm getting some medicine that should be off the shelf but brought to me, then maybe my numbers is this high because of a reason. And how you black folk never question AIDS, but you live in a country where the mentality puts smallpox in Indians' blankets and killed women and children. The United States Bureau of Health, not the White Citizen Council, the Ku Klux Klan, took 600 black men in Tuskegee, Alabama, and injected syphilis into them under false pretense. They was given them a vitamin. And then AIDS come out, and you don't even say, wait a minute, just on your past record. Huh? And so I say to you tonight, we've come a long ways. those of you that are not willing to really make this different, I say have fun quick, because recess is just about over. This article never ran in a white paper, never ran on NBC or CBS. It's a black book called Health Quest. It ran 2 years ago this month. I want y'all to hear this. Action AIDS Health Warning, following up on a study presented at the International AIDS Conference in Durban, South Africa. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention have issued an urgent AIDS health advisory, which said many people may have been counseled that monoxin-9, which is known as N9, that little jelly that's in condoms, that little liquid, better known as N9. They've been told that this gel helps, gives extra prevention against AIDS and HIV transmission. However, in a recent study conducted on 1,000 HIV negative prostitutes in Africa, they found out that using N9 actually increased, not decreased, your chances of AIDS and HIV. And not one newspaper had touched this, okay? Okay, so y'all go ahead and play your little games. Y'all go ahead and pass your little needles out to the drug addicts and not know there's something in the needle. People have been shooting up for 200 years. They just start using dirty needles. What kind of fool is you? Thank God I've never been a drug addict, because if I was, I would tell you point blank, don't give me no free needle. Give me free dope. Well, I'll buy my own needle. I need free dope. And then as God bless you, my oldest daughter decides she want to get a doctor's degree at the London School of Economics. So I'm over there visiting her one day and walk down the street. This story had never ran in an American paper. London Times, Monday, May 11, 1987. Smallpox vaccine triggers AIDS virus. And then they go on to talk about how in a 13-year, the World Health Organization, which masterminded a 13-year campaign under the false pretense of wiping out AIDS in Africa, was actually injected on. And now we sit around now and look at them trifling niggas over there that, oh, 2 million will die this year, and nobody would ever dawn on them that. Y'all go ahead. A couple of weeks ago, I went over to Egypt. The first time I ever went to Egypt, didn't want to see the pyramid or the Sphinx. I just wanted to go to the West Nile and check out the West Nile virus. They ain't never heard of it. Like going to France, asking for French toast. They don't know what you're talking about. And so as I say thanks to you tonight, I was in Paris when they arrested Henry Kissinger for murder. Maybe some of you all, because of the hipness of the level of your involvement, know about it, but most Americans have never realized that an indictment went out through the magistrate and they presented it to Henry Kissinger at the Ritz-Carlton, probably the number one hotel in the world. He was supposed to show up in court at 9 o'clock, but he slipped out the country. And every paper in Europe carried the headline, the French government said, okay, but you can't come back here, you're a fugitive. Not one American paper till a year later, the Village Voice was the only paper in America that broke the story about Henry Kissinger. Murder. When they arrested all them thugs in South America for all the killing, they produced documents that said, well, we was doing this with Kissinger when he was Secretary of State. And so the world court, that's what they busted him for. And then not too long ago, which I was kind of shocked and surprised, in the London Financial Times, Thursday, April the 25th, 2002, Kissinger, quote, we may have errors.
Oh, you ever.
But what I'm trying to say is, you think you live in a free democratic society with a free press? And so I leave you tonight, and I say to you, they will probably never catch the shooter in Washington, D.C. Why? Because they're looking for the wrong person. First, how do you kill six people at random and none of them are white? And the press ain't even dealing with that. Huh? Some of you all sitting here now did not know that till you heard it just now. Huh? How do you shoot five people in the head, one shot, and take them out, and we'd be stupid enough not to know that whoever's doing that make their living doing that? Moving targets? Why do I think they won't catch him? Because they're looking for a serial killer. Serial killers don't make their living killing people. They're looking for somebody mentally deranged. Mentally deranged don't make their living. Whoever can shoot five different people, five different times, with one shot in the head, take them out. They make their living doing that. And America's not the only country. Many of your Western countries and other countries train people to assassinate folks. Maybe this one got out the box. Maybe it was told to get out the box. Or maybe... Nah, we ain't gonna go that way. As we leave you, my website is dickgregory.com. But this is USA Today, Thursday, August the 29th, 2002, I'm sorry. And they talk about the pretext. And then it says here, one of the most outrageous uses of pretext took place during the Kennedy administration. After the failed Bay of Pigs operation, in which the CIA wrongfully underestimated the amount of international support for Fidel Castro, with the CIA out of the picture, the Joint Chiefs of Staff saw a grand operation opportunity for the military to launch an all-out war against Cuba. But they needed a pretext. The answer was Operation North Star. The Joint Chiefs would secretly launch a war of terrorism on the United States public, then blame it on Cuba, according to a long hidden secret document that they found in the archives. Okay? Here's what they were going to do. They were supposed to go from different cities in America and kill American citizens. They were supposed to sink boats with Cuban refugees on it and blame it on Castro. But in order to do that, the Secretary of State had to sign off on it, and he did. Or have y'all forgot about the Gulf of Tonkin when we needed a reason to drop bombs on Hanoi? How long? And how is it only one paper in this country, the Washington Post, on March the 2nd, 2002, headlines, airport screen, 9 of September 11th, hijackers. What the story is about is 30 minutes, oh, them planes took off, 9 of them skyjackers was taken off the plane. Their luggage was searched for bombs and guns. And the one FBI agent that knew it, what was going to happen, the one that knew, John P. O'Neill, you know, huh? The number two man in the FBI. And he saw it coming down because he had the same memo I had. I had the memo 18 months before. He's had it for years. and you'll hear more about it. But it'll be too late. It's called Operation Vinco, where the police in Manila discovered that a group was getting ready to assassinate the Pope when he came to the Philippines. And the breaking that down and making the arrest of Ramzi Youssef, they went in and got his computer and broke down the hard drive and saw in there a plan called Operation Vinco. This is 1995, where they were supposed to skyjack American planes from Thailand, Korea. Singapore, Hong Kong, and fly them into American targets, and they listed the targets, the World Trade Building, the Pentagon, the Capitol. They listed them. In 1995, that was turned over to the U.S. government. The one FBI agent to try to do something about it, they drummed him out, and he got caught in a trick. They called him. He said, I understand you don't work for the FBI no more. He said, no. He said, well, how would you like to take over chief of security at the World Trade Building? And he did, and they tell us he died that morning. And so I leave you tonight, and I say to you, at midnight tonight, I will start a fast and prayer vigil. It's a simple fast and prayer vigil. And whatever's going on in Washington, D.C., that the truth will come out. If what they tell us is the truth, that's my prayer. And I vow to you tonight, this have never been released to the press yet, I will not eat another drop of solid food until the truth comes out on what is going on in Washington, D.C. Because if we're not careful, the next thing would be a cop killed, and then fear will run rampant, because if the folks with guns ain't safe, then who is? And so somewhere I say to you, if there was one thread we could pull and wake everybody up, it would be getting rid of hunger. Hungry people are so busy in the pain of wanting to that they see nothing. And so I say thanks to you. I love you. I will think about you every day that I go without eating. I will think about you feeding people. And then one day when the truth come out, you're going to look around and see me in the line. Get me something to eat. I love you. God bless you.